This is Fabian Hiscock of Three Rivers Museum. I'm interviewing Councillor Stephen Giles Medhurst, the leader of Three Rivers District Council in Three Rivers House on the 24th of July, 2026. For a bit of context, heat alerts, heat health alerts have just been issued. We're at the end of the first week of Andy Burnham's premiership, and Angela Rayner has just announced that there will be no cap on rents. Now then, Stephen, leader of the council.
Good afternoon, Fabian.
How did you get into this role, this council, in the first place?
Well, I've always been involved in politics. In fact, I'm rather long in the tooth in that respect, in that I was first elected in 1978, which is probably considerably older than some of your listeners to this podcast, for the London Borough of Harrow, and I served 20 years on that council. In fact, I had probably the uniqueness. I was legally the youngest elected councillor in the entire country because my nomination day was my birthday, which was the eligibility to be nominated. At that stage, it was 21. I spent 20 years there. I subsequently moved in 1999 to Leavesden, where I now live. Politics is to some extent in my blood in that sense. And I stood for Leavesden Ward in the year 2000 and was duly elected. And Leavesden Ward is the largest ward of Three Rivers. And I have to say, I'm proud of the fact that we have Leavesden Country Park. And we now have, of course, Warner Brothers.
You certainly do. Now, how did you become leader of the council, Stephen, having gone through that long apprenticeship?
Well, I'd been a cabinet member or spokesperson since I was elected in 2000 and always had a role here, and indeed also as a county councillor. And for many years, I was the leader of the county council group for 11 years. When I stood down for that role, it meant I could do more at Three Rivers. I was deputy leader to the then leader, Sarah Nelms. And actually, the process is relatively simple. In your party group, if you are the largest party, chooses, and indeed all the groups, choose their leader and deputy leader. Ours is the democratic vote in our group. And if you're the largest party on the council, that's the leader of that group is the nominee to be the council leader. And although, yes, the council could decide something different, that is normally the case.
Does the same apply at county council level?
It does indeed.
So having taken up that role, how would you describe the role of leader of the council?
It's providing direction. It's also, I think, and I had these conversations very early days with the chief executive, it's firefighting on a daily basis. So you deal with one crisis on the Thursday, you get another one on the Friday, and so on. And indeed, I've had a conversation this morning with the chief executive about a number of subjects, one of which I can't speak about on this podcast, which is a matter of concern. And it is often like that, and making those decisions in conjunction with officers, or at least giving some direction to officers, is the way I think they should be dealt with.
Now, let's pick up on that for a second. The direction to officers. How do officers come to the leader or other councillors for direction?
Well, it is for the councillors, the elected councillors, either in terms of their portfolios as lead member, or myself as leader, or indeed from council decisions made collectively from all councils to make decisions on behalf of the council. It is then for officers to implement those decisions, and obviously then for councillors to chase up to ensure those decisions are being implemented the way they expect them to be. So it's not in such that the councillors don't implement the decisions of the council. We may say, we want to cancel weekly bin collections. The council have to implement that. We're not going to cancel weekly bin collections, may I assure your listeners.
But now, how do officers then go about their work of implementing the strategic level decisions that the councillors have given them?
Well, obviously, it's not quite as simple as I've probably just made out here, because there will be reports to the councillors and our council committees about strategies we want to implement and given advice, the costings, the staff resources, how quickly these things can be done, whether there are any legal constraints. So there's a whole raft of processes, people call it bureaucracy, that you go through before you can undertake a change to what you're currently doing or implement new things or new schemes. And of course, on top of that, you have to make sure there is sufficient finances to cover the costs. So, but it will be the officers who undertake the day-to-day monitoring of that, potentially report back to their individual service committees and to ensure those works are undertaken, and obviously report back as part of the budget making process. So we have regular reports to a committee called the Politan Resources Committee, which indicates each quarter what's been spent on what, whether there's underspends, whether there's overspends, and how those are dealt with.
Now, here we are on the cusp of the reorganisation of local government for the first time in more than 50 years. You've got a foot in both camps because you're a county councillor as well as a district councillor. What has been the background to the reorganisation of local government?
Well, if we were doing this podcast 2 years ago, it wasn't even on the agenda. We would just have had the general election. The general election and the Labour manifesto was for more devolution. It wasn't for local government reform, or as some people will use the phrase, the R is actually more like wrecking. And so you plagiarism on R, of course, rather than actually reform. Having said that, given the government has insisted on going down this route, and we've now got to almost the penultimate stage of directing what will be the new unitary structure in Hertfordshire, which is four unitary councils, all 11 leaders, that's all the 10 districts and boroughs, and the county council leader. We've all met on a regular basis as a leaders group, as indeed we were doing so before local government reform, and we put three submissions. And uniquely in Hertfordshire, we have not fallen out. You go to some other authorities, some of the councils have disagreed with the other councils, have had violent disagreements, and it has been violent, I understand, in some certain council chambers. That has not been the case in Hertfordshire. Yes, we've disagreed over what has been the end result, but my job as a leader, coming back to that, is to, even if it isn't the decision I would have preferred, and it isn't the decision that Three Rivers councillors prefer, because they all support a free unitary model for Hertfordshire, we will try to make sure and do our best to make it work.
In doing that, do you think that you'll be able to implement properly what the government first intended going back 2 years?
Well, we're not actually too sure what the government really intended, because the idea that when it first started, local government reform and devolution was pushed a little bit up the agenda was twofold. The devolution was having a directly elected mayor for bigger areas. We in Hertfordshire collectively have put the case, and I think the government has now accepted it. How soon we get it is another matter, for a directly elected mayor for Hertfordshire, currently a population of 1.2 million growing, as being a strategic economic unit. That delivers potentially huge amounts of benefits. And you just mentioned Andrew Burnham, former mayor of Manchester, having been in post. He's very keen on elected mayors. So I know the leader of the county council, with the backing of myself and the other leaders, will again be reminding him that actually we want a mayor for Hertfordshire, which delivers a strategic transport authority, additional funding, additional powers. That is the real benefit for our residents. The breakup of the 10 district councils into four unitaries, in my view, will see no immediate benefit, and it may well be quite a long time before we see any benefit for our residents, because it means our services, which are different in Three Rivers from that of Watford and indeed Hartsmere, the other two authorities for the new unitary for this area, which is going to be called South West Hertfordshire, are different. And so they have to be what is known as aggregated together, the same way you have a disaggregation from the county services, i.e. social services, adult care.
Now, you mentioned earlier, you described earlier the relationship between councillors, leader of the council, and officers. If you have an elected mayor, how does the relationship then work between the elected mayor in an executive position and the senior officers of the council?
To be honest, I don't know about the senior officers. I can certainly explain how it's expected to work with the elected leaders and of the four new unitaries, because the elected mayor will come after the new unitaries, and this is what's happened elsewhere, is as basically a board. So the elected mayor would only have responsibility for certain functions, i.e. across the whole of Hertfordshire, i.e. the police and fire service being one of the two of the others. So there will be a board in which the four leaders and probably their deputies would sit on, and the mayor would have to consult and take advice from them. This is very similar to the model that operates in Manchester and indeed in Liverpool.
There's also been mention of a strategic authority.
That is the strategic authority. The mayoral authority is the strategic authority.
Right, they are the same thing.
They are exactly the same thing. In the meantime, we have applied for what is known as a foundation status authority, which is the stepping stone to mayoralty. We are actually in Hertfordshire in a position to move straight to the mayoral authority if the government gives us the go-ahead and the funding to do so, because of the way we have worked across all of the 11 authorities in Hertfordshire for the last 5 to 6 years.
When do you expect to find that this is all, the detail is all delivered, given that the implementation date is 1st of April 28?
Well, that is for the local government reorganisation. The process for this, and it's new to all of your listeners, is we'll have elections for the new authority, South West Hertfordshire, in May next year, the first Thursday of May next year. That will be a shadow authority. It will have no powers as such to make decisions until the 1st of April 2028. And at midnight on the 31st of March 2028, Three Rivers District Council ceased to exist, the same way as it ceased to exist in terms of its former authorities, like Rippensworth Urban District Council, which is where we are now, ceased to exist on the 31st of March 1974.
So there is clearly a lot of work going on. Some of it is going on in the district and borough authorities, borough councils. Other is going on in and around central government. What sort of work do you think is going to have to be done now in the next, well, less than 2 years?
Oh, an awful lot of work. This is going to be not only time-consuming, but particularly very costly. So we had a meeting of all the leaders this week. We are setting up individual shadow bodies, which are normal committees. These will become statutory committees in March next year in what is known as a particular order come from central government. And we will have to start making some plans and decisions. We will start, and these shadows bodies, which are will be comprised of the leaders and deputy leaders, certainly of the districts, and then representatives of the council, has to be balanced. So it's 2-2-2 and then 6 county councillors. We'll then start to have to draw up the constitution, the members' allowances, terms of reference, and some of the administration. At the same time, officers will be working with their counterparts in the other two district areas, in the case of Three Rivers, to see how we will start to merge some of the existing services, i.e. parking, for instance, being one of them. Now, the benefit we do have in Three Rivers, we already have a huge number of shared services with Watford. So that puts us as a bit of an advantage, I would have to say. And indeed, we've got one shared service with Hartsmere, the parking management regime in terms of the civil penalty officers. So there are some benefits. And if we can lever those benefits in, that would be good. The one thing I do want to assure people, none of the services will change. Everything stays the same on the 31st of March, as it will do on the 1st of April 2028.
But now, Three Rivers is a small council. It's well run, I'm happy to offer.
I'd agree with that.
Absolutely. But seriously, it's a concise local authority which does its work with a small staff. You've just described all the extra work that the same staff are going to have to do.
Well, there will be new staff because as part of this, you have to do the staffing structure and reorganisation, because we will be getting, obviously, some of the responsibilities that are clearly undertaken now. And remember, over, I think it's about 77% of people's council tax at the moment goes to the county council. Now, obviously, in terms of the billing after April of next year, it will be one authority in terms of both the district and the county council. But the percentage of that council tax still will require to support the services from the county. And that's where a lot more work is going to be undertaken. And we're talking principally about adult social care and education. That's more than 50% of the county council's £1.2 billion budget.
Are you able to say anything about where, for example, the property portfolio in the local authorities will reside?
No, I mean, obviously, decisions on what happens of disposal of assets, maximising, we'll still be able to make decisions as Three Rivers, certainly up until next April. There will be constraining factors after that, particularly once the shadow authority is elected and we'll know the makeup of the shadow authority, which may include some, obviously, probably like to include some existing Three Rivers district councillors, but equally, obviously, those who are no longer wanting to re-stand and are standing down, whether they like it or not, on the 31st of March 2028, will have a less of a role, but there will be a bit of handover. There has to be some handover. And that's the one thing I'm keen to ensure, that the expertise and talent we have of existing councillors in Three Rivers, even if they're not going to be on the new authority, that they can mentor the new authority members who may well be completely new to local government. And there will be less councillors. But I think people have really cottoned on to this. There will be far less councillors. So in the case of Hertfordshire at the moment, at district and county level, there are 577 councillors. That comes down to 270 councillors. So the number of people represented by an elected representative, what will now be the senior level, goes up considerably. So there's a lot more workload potentially. And whereas district councillors, I'm not saying they do, but some districts may not, well, no, it's not my job. That's go and speak to your county council. They sort out the highways, or go and speak to your county council. They'll sort out the school placings. No, on the new authority, that will be your role to help sort that resident's problem out.
It'll be an interesting interface between councillors working at that level and their council officers and civil servants.
Yeah, and obviously getting that staffing structure right, and there will be undoubtedly, as there is in any reorganisation, potentially some teething problems, which are why I have already met, and obviously I know them very well personally, the leaders of Hartsmere and Watford. We had a meeting earlier this week to discuss on certain things we have to submit to the government by the 17th of August. So thank you for ruining our summer in terms of the restructuring. So we have to do a paper back to the government on certain things they want answers on, for what is known as a structural changes order, which I won't bore your listeners to, but it's another technicality in bureaucracy.
Now, Stephen, there are two other levels of local democracy and representation. One of them resides around the parish councils, the town councils, various names attached to them. How do you see the roles of those very small, very local bodies?
Well, I'm really glad you've asked me that question, because I actually am a parish councillor as well. I think, well, how do you get time for all this? Well, I sometimes wonder that myself. But actually, I do see parish councils as being the root and branch of local democracy, particularly with these larger unitaries. I'm pleased to say that in Three Rivers, all bar two parts of our area have parish councils. And indeed, we're starting next week, the 31st of July, a review of what is known as a community government's review of those parish councils, and reconsulting the residents in Penn and Mill End area and Maple Cross and West Hyde to see if they want a parish council. My view is, but obviously it's up to the residents to decide, they should, because that will give them that foot in the door and that local voice. And that means that much smaller local authority will be able to take on some very local things, maybe managing play areas, allotments, their own village hall, things like that, and have the ability to raise funds separately for that. That is the sort of work that's undertaken by all the parish councils at the moment. Some have more resources than others, but they are the root and branch of local democracy. And that would be a very good input to what will be the new unitary councillors. So I would encourage people to respond to this consultation, hopefully in favour of not only for the new those new areas that would come in as parish councillors, but there's some changes suggested for other areas. In Chorley Wood, there's some changes of the wards and making them a bit smaller and more representative. I understand Batchworth is maybe thinking about calling itself a town council because it covers Rickmansworth. And that, my personal view, would be quite appropriate, but that is for the resident to decide. But I feel it's a very much fundamental root and branch of local democracy to have these bodies.
Now, the other level of local representation is, of course, the residents' associations, some of which cover quite a large area and some of which are absolutely tiny and cover one street. How do you see the role of local residents in their residents' association?
I think it does vary. Some are set up purely as effectively action groups campaigning against something that may be occurring in the areas, and others have a wider range and ambit. So one of the things I have done as leader is I have involved the parish councils that currently exist on a quarterly basis to come in here, discuss issues with me, with their clerks, and to go through. And they have found that very effective. I'd like to see that the new unitary will carry that on. And potentially we are looking at, and the government does say this in its reorganisation, what are known as local area boards or neighbourhood boards, which could therefore involve certainly residents' associations. I think the only caveat you one needs to put on that for any organisation to consider another association or body, those need to be properly constituted residents associations with a constitution, with a treasurer, terms of reference. It can't be Joe Brog's campaigning against X development in my street action group. I'm the residents group for this area and I've set this all up. These things have to be properly constituted. So we do know they are truly representative of the residents.
It becomes an interesting challenge as to how people taking part in those residents association discussions can actually feel that their concerns, whatever they are being addressed, because the residents association will have so little power, so little authority.
Well, because if you have the parishes, they can easily go to the parish meetings, which will meet more frankly. And of course, they'll be very local if you're talking about parishes. And we don't yet know where the headquarters necessarily will be of the Southwest Hearts Unitary, let alone where it will meet, because none of the three existing bodies have a facility to accommodate 70 councillors, which is what we're looking at. So we'll have that issue. But I know the local area boards, where they have been set up elsewhere, do have a representative, not just of residents, but also of businesses and traders. And I think that's an important element here. We mustn't miss out the economy and the vital part that businesses play, not only in Three Rivers, but obviously across the whole of Hertfordshire.
Now, perhaps this plays to another aspect of the new Prime Minister's agenda, which is about generating growth through supporting local business and business development. Do you see that the new arrangements will naturally add lend themselves to that sort of agenda?
It's potential, and one of the reasons given, I don't necessarily agree with all the reasons that have been given why we ended up with the split we had, because we preferred a model which would have merged Watford with us and us to the north, Decorum, which is geographically much more linked to the A41, the river network, and indeed the rail network. But we've been linked with Hartsmere. Like Hartsmere, they have Sky Studios. We have Warner Brothers. We have the Langley Bury Film Hub. So this will become very much Southwest Hearts. Someone, I made a funny pun the other day, well, perhaps we should be naming it Hogwarts West as a potential name, and actually, or even Hollywood England, because this will become the film and multimedia hub of Hertfordshire. And if we can make that work, we were able to lever in quite a lot of additional funding and economic growth. Sky Studios and Warner Brothers already contribute significantly to the gross national product of the UK, and that can continue to increase.
Now, coming up right to the other end of the scale from the parish council, there's already a Southwest Hearts parliamentary constituency. How do you see the relationship between, well, the geographical boundaries of the one against the boundaries and the responsibilities of the other?
Well, they are completely different. Obviously, the parliamentary seats are different. In fact, not the one part of the parliamentary seat, Southwest Hearts parliamentary seat, is not in the Southwest Hearts new unitary. That's a part of one of the King's Langley wards. That may be changed when we get to the second set of the unitaries in 2032, elections, that is. I think, actually, there may be an issue there, and I suspect I would not be at all surprised if the name of the parliamentary seat may have to be changed in due course. Oddly enough, it's interesting you raise that one, myself and indeed quite a few other people suggested the parliamentary seat should have been called Three Rivers. That was objected to by one particular party and insisted it be called Southwest Hearts, because it was already a name for a constituency called Southwest Hearts, although the new constituency for the elections in 2014 only represented 35% of the former named Southwest Hearts. So I can quite see the possibility of a new name coming down the line. But obviously the relationship should be between any council and council leaders, if you do have some dialogue with the elected members of Parliament in a position to be able to raise things in Parliament and be able to keep them informed what is going on in a local area so that they can properly represent all of their residents. I won't dwell on some of the issues we have on that front, but some MPs are better in engaging with the local authorities than others.
Now, you have 50 years' experience in local government, half of it here, half of it in Harrow. How do party politics play into the work of local and indeed national, but particularly local governments?
probably too much, I think it's fair to say. And it's not necessarily the National Party politics. I'm afraid it's my experience. It tends to be the petty local party politics that plays into it. I think most people understand you can have political differences on policy and agenda, and all the parties have that. And indeed, even within the party, anyone who says, I 100% agree with my party's policies is not quite telling the truth. I think that's highly unlikely to be the case. But that shouldn't therefore temper what is trying to be delivered by in terms of services. So you can have respect for other people, and I do, in terms of speaking across other group leaders and other councils and other parties, because at the end of the day, all elected officials should be striving to do the best for their residents, no matter which party they represent, or indeed none. And yes, you can have disagreements. Well, actually, I'd prefer you didn't do that because it's going to cost my residents X. But actually, can you not do this and give us this facility free of charge? And you have to balance some of these things up between, well, actually, we'd like to give it free of charge, but we've got to balance the books, so we can't. So you can have those as reasonable debates rather than falling out. Well, actually, you know, it's dyed in the wall politics. Unfortunately, that has crept in far too much, in my view, into local government, particularly, I have to say, in the last few years in Three Rivers. There was a bit of it a few years ago on the county council when I was first elected. It was really, really strict, and the county council, I'm afraid, was daytime meetings. And I'm going to use a phrase that some people might consider offensive, male, stale and pale, because of that. So you can get the drift of the type of people that were on the county council. And to some extent, we had it a little bit in Harrow, but less so. They were evening meetings, but it was a bigger unitary type authority. But part of it is also built on relationships. I try to ensure that I keep other members informed, and I do speak to most of the other party group leaders to keep them informed what is going on. And that means you can have a bit of a smoother run-in. And if we all work together, I think a lot more smoother decisions. And okay, you can still have a disagreement and vote against, say, I don't agree with that, you've got the wrong policy here. I have no problems with that, but we shouldn't be personal about any of the issues that we take up on behalf of our residents.
Of course, social media encourages everybody to be extremely personal in expressing their view. How do you deal with the stuff which comes in on local social media?
Well, I do use social media. Some of my colleagues refuse to use social media because actually you do have to be very thick-skinned. If you do use social media, you post something up and you'll get a load of negative comments by and large. Not always the case. You do get some nice positive ones as well, and I take those with all due credit. And I think it has become a bit less flavoursome, shall we say, when you post things up and you get nothing but negative feedback. And I can understand that puts people... You go and ask someone, would you like to say, God, I couldn't possibly do that. I couldn't. You know, all these national, all these things being said nasty about you and your colleagues and this and the other. No, I don't want to put my head above the parapet. Sorry. And they make an excellent councillor or an excellent representative of the people, but they won't do that because of the nastiness. So in that view, this is why I probably do agree with the government and others, there needs to be much more stricter control what can and can't be posted up on social media, and those that monitor those sites should have much stricter control to be able to take down comments that I would consider to be inflammatory or derogatory, and certainly anything that's personal. I think things have moved away. You know, when I first started, you wrote a letter to a letter from a resident, posted it, got it 4 or 5 days later, you wrote a letter back, which you then posted back. And nowadays, with social media and the way we work, you get an email in the morning, and if you haven't responded in the afternoon, you might just get a reminder. You haven't responded to my email I sent at 9:30 this morning. Sometimes some people do that, surprisingly. There's an instant demand. I've sent something. I want an instant answer. Franz, I'm afraid to say it's not always possible.
Stephen, we'll be going half an hour. Quickly to finish, how do you think you've seen the Three Rivers District change in your 25 years as a local councillor here?
Oh, in some respects, dramatically. We didn't have Warner Brothers here 25 years ago. Yeah, we had the old aerodrome was still operating. We're just about to close with the old Royce factory, just closed. And there was talk, actually, of a multimedia industrial park there before Warner Brothers took over the hangars. We'd only just opened, having taken over from the health authority, at Leeds and Country Park, which was previously Leeds and Asylum. So, and that's great, massively improved and has a green flag. Similarly, the other side of the district, the Acrodome, was really, we had responsibility for it, but the improvements that have been carried out over the last 25 years have been massive to improve that area. Yes, it's had its problems with asbestos, which we're still having to cope with, and we will do so. But in terms of the facilities we're able to offer to our residents, particularly on our parks and play spaces, and equally on our recycling. Now, this is an authority, Three Rivers. We have been in the top 10, if not occasionally in the top one or two, for the last 10 years on recycling. And that's because of the offer we've made to residents and the way residents have engaged with us. So those are three things I'd point as dramatic gains and improvements for our residents.
Now, let me perhaps offer a counter. I get a suspicion that the residents of Abbots Langley, very near which you are, of course, and indeed South Oxley, don't have an affinity for Rickmansworth as the centre of Three Rivers. Their focus, their move, their lives pivot much more around Watford. Do you think that was inevitable? Is it a problem?
Well, that stems from the reorganisation in the late 60s into the 70s, which formed Rickmansworth Urban District Council, Chorleywood Urban District Council, Watford Rural District Council, into what we now have as Three Rivers. I suppose, and indeed, funny enough, in the 60s, there was a government proposal from the Labour government at the time. That's an interesting one, isn't it? To have huge unitaries. And we would have been in a unitary called number 61, I think it was, which was Luton stretching all the way to Watford. So rather large unitary.
It got
scrapped by Edward Heath. So yes, I mean, the problem was, I think actually, Patrick, we should have been bigger in terms of Watford should have been a bit bigger than what it is and taken in some of those areas which are really merging into Watford. But that's long since gone down the road. This is an opportunity now to making sure that's always the case. Three Rivers is a bit of an oddity, hence the name the Three Rivers, because you're quite right. You've got Rickmansworth as a community, you've got Chorleywood as a community, Abbots Langley, South Oxley, Croxley Green, and Sarrett and all the villages. So yes, it's never been one which you've got a nice town centre like Hemel Hempstead to some extent, or certainly in terms of Watford. But actually, when you look at it, Hartsmere's the same. They've got Boreham Wood and Potter's Bar. They're rather distinctly different areas and all the bits in between, Aldenham and Radlett. So we're not the only ones that have had that problem.
How do you encourage residents to be proud of their district, their town, their village, whatever it might be? How do you get people to feel, in this day and age, proud of what's going on and what they're part of?
I suppose to encourage them to get involved in local community groups. There's a huge number across the piece. I've seen a number of them. Yourself, Three Rivers Museum, for instance, and participate and suggest things that we should or could or can be doing. And I think coming back to your earlier question, that's even more important with local government reorganisation. Get involved and encourage your parish council to take on these responsibilities. For instance, we in Abbots, we did the Jubilee events for the late Queen, we did the coronation events, then we did the 80th VEVJ Day events. Those are sort of things that involve the community. And actually, on a regular basis, we now have the Watford Lions doing the annual fireworks event in November. So there's all these sort of things where you get involved and have some pride in your community. I'd also encourage residents on a more parochial thing, actually have pride in your street. So actually, if you see your neighbours who may be not able to cut their hedge because of age or infirmity, it's overhanging the pavement, why not offer to do it for them? No, that's having pride in your neighbourhood.
Stephen, I think we've run out of time, really.
I've enjoyed it.
Thank you very much.